Now, tonight the lecture is one which I'm sure we'll appreciate because it deals with most of the things that we are doing in the world that is preventing the happiness of the world's people. The law of deterioration is active in the world, and man alone is the cause. He said to him, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, not even if one rose from the dead. Luke 16:31. How true that is. I had a person come to me today, a lady who wanted to know the truth. She told me that she was taking lessons in truth. I said, yes, I'm taking lessons in truth. And what are they telling you about truth? Well, she says, I've got to repeat a lot of mantras and things like that. I said, haven't you found that the mantras you repeat, the very opposite you get instead of the mantras? She says, I found that out to be true. I said, of course it's true. I says, why do you say mantras? It is because in your mind, the very opposite is more deeply rooted in the mind. That's why you say mantras, and you only increase that intensity of the opposite. I said, anyway now, and what do you expect to find then? Are you making them your authority? Wherever you have authority, you have confusion, you have doubt. And besides, I said, all that you have of the truth now, you have made up in your mind, haven't you? You don't know one bit about truth, do you? You've made it all up in your mind. Just ideas and images, beliefs and mantras. And she said, yes. Good gracious me, she said, yes, that's true. It's all made up in my own mind. I said, but now you realize it's not truth, do you? She said, I've never seen that before. I said, well, now you just think about it for a little while. And you will not bother about those lessons in truth. Our greatest asset, our real wealth, is the creative power within and not things created. This is a secret of power in a world torn with conflict and confusion. Confusion exists only in our reaction to things and people. The uncreated and the created are one, because the created is the action of the uncreated. And all must exist in the uncreated because there is no other place it could exist. In fact, all forms exist in the ether that is formless. It is the formless substance and it penetrates every particle of substance in the whole universe. Yet in itself, is transformed into form, yet it remains in itself formless. So ether is everywhere, there is nowhere where it's not. Then it penetrates right through the walls everywhere, because even you can close those windows, those doors, and you can have radio waves coming through the ether into enclosed space. Therefore you see form made out of ether, ether remains formless. So does the uncreated, the whole universe exists in the uncreated. And the created and the uncreated are one. Now man was created in the image and likeness of God, having God's consciousness, the same life in him. And when he was born as a little child, he was free. Jesus said, that is what heaven is made up of, these little children, free. But imagine you go to school, you go out to the world, so many things hamper you. First of all, tradition. Your mother attended a certain school, a certain class, a certain church, and because you don't attend that church, your mother's going to cry. And because your mother cries about you not going to the church, you then say, well, I think I'll go to church because my mother cries. Immediately your condition. And this conditioning goes on completely until such time you are no longer as the little child that is in heaven. You've conditioned yourself for those things. But you can become that little child again by discerning all the things that have conditioned you, and you become as that little child was, complete, except you begin to know. And according to your knowing, and the greater the knowing of what is not truth, then you will become to that which is truth in itself. Because truth is not created. You don't create truth, no one creates truth, no one creates life. You cannot create life, you cannot create truth, because it's eternal and ever present. You cannot create yourself, you cannot create your own consciousness. Try and see if you can create your consciousness, and you'll find it's an utter impossibility, because you're always trying, you're creating something external to the consciousness always being paramount, always creating something. Therefore, you were created in the image and likeness of God, but according to your conditioning, not so. That was created by yourself. We created the conditioning surrounding ourselves, and we can only discern our own conditioning. I can't discern it for you. Therefore, it is not my work to show you the truth, because I can't tell you the truth, but I can tell you what's not true, so that you can find your way to that which is true. Things created are for our use, but to burden ourselves with more than we can ever use is but a craving for things to cover up our inward poverty, and brings distorted reactions and effects to the mind and body, and draws us away from the creativeness which alone gives us peace of mind and continuous supply of wealth, health, and happiness. So when we are conditioned, we have an inward poverty that we try to overcome. And this inward poverty makes us go out and create more conditioning worse than ever. Unless we separate ourselves from the things created and stand apart, we will never be able to control those things, but we'll find ourselves controlled by them. We must remember that we are the embodiment of the one creative power in the universe, and therefore the embodiment of all the laws of creation. This objective self, or whatever you like to call it, is that which is every other self. The other self is that self that reacts to the senses. This causes a sense of separation. I do not mean the subconscious mind. The mind itself is one mind, conscious or subconscious. It makes no difference, it's images created in it. And the mind is not truth, mind is not a creator. So always remember that mind is only the effect of the creation. And it is the mold through which the creation forms. Your reactions to things external to yourselves are your own creation. Through your senses, through your sight, through your ear, through your feeling, through your desire, through your impulses, these are all created within yourselves. No matter whether a light strikes the eye and reflects a certain image, you must interpret an image within yourselves. And after you have consciously interpreted the image, it becomes subconscious. It becomes a memory, and that memory very often is conditioned by fear, by emotion, in which you have during the time of your reaction. That memory then becomes a force that will control you unless you understand it and know what it is. Therefore, you identify yourself with the memory, and then you become that memory. Self-identification with your memories is the cause of much of your misery and trouble, because you do not know that a memory was created by yourself. And unless you know that you and your thought are one, then you'll always be troubled with your thought, because you believe that your thought and your memory is separate to yourselves, and it has an influence over you when it has not at any time whatsoever. Therefore, it's discerning and understanding the mind understanding your own reactions, your emotions and conditions that affect you in the present. Not something exists in the past, a memory is a thing of the past that may be affecting you now in the present. But if you are aware in the present all the time, then you will know that these things cannot affect you because you're aware of them. You're aware of the conditions of your mind and the way that you are conditioning yourself. So means the subconscious mind, which is the reflection of the outer self, which is always reflecting what we think and feel, giving us back exactly what we feel and think, memory, etc. And it's this memory that is causing much of our misery. What do we do? Our wars, our influences, our antagonisms of the past are still memory. And these memories are affecting us in the present. The very living presence that is love and wisdom. If these memories are always blinding us to the very presence that is love and wisdom, how in all the earth are we going to get out of the conditions that we are in? Tradition, antagonisms, wars, influences, and all these things of the past are still influencing us in the present, are they not? These memories are always there with us. Unless we know them for what they are and what they mean to us, we'll continue to be affected by them, and also they will create antagonisms in the future. How can you have love and wisdom if you're antagonistic now, at this very moment, when love and wisdom exist only at this moment and exist eternally? Don't you see, you must understand memory and what it is. For you can dissolve it away, and it can be dissolved away to understand. If you know yourself to be antagonist, to be stupid, to be greedy, and so forth, and all these things, you will drop them. But you don't. You think the other fellow is. You're not, of course. Therefore, if our reaction to things external is one of fear, then fear will prevail, because we do not know that the creative principle alone is our wealth and not the things created. Jesus called the creative principle the Father. The Christ he realized as himself, which was not separate from the Father or the self in others. This is the true subjective self, who is conscious of the Father, the creative principle, and also conscious of the things to be created, knowing that the Father would produce what was asked. The Father doeth the work, and it's always the Father that doeth the work, because life alone is created. It's life that moves my hands. Is it not life that gives me the knowledge and understanding and that mechanism? Is it not life that creates the very forming of the words? The brain, the nervous system, the moving of the tongue, the lips, and everything, all to form a certain word? Is it not life that has feeling in me to give you the expression of the feeling that I have, so that my words will be something to you, and not a mere gramophone? This is the living self, and not the outer self that dies a natural death. For the real self does not die at all. It is the illusion of death that man sees through the outer self that bothers him. So man sees an end to things, but not so the Christ, the living self that is in every other self. So Jesus the Christ said, I, the Father, are one, which is an actual truth. But it wasn't an idea. But if it's still an idea to you in your mind, then it's of no value to you. But if you can find also within yourselves that you and the Father are one, then that is of value to you. Not that Jesus Christ was one with the Father, but that you are one with the Father. Words cannot explain this realization. There is nothing to compare with it. We can compare or explain the relative. But that which is beyond the relative cannot be explained in relative terms. the world about us, we can explain what is relative, our actions, etc. We can see what we are doing and what we have done, if we are wide awake and wise enough. So we will look into the world of things. We see a world created for man, with plants and trees and forests and everything, a land ready to be cultivated, everything there ready for man to make use of. But is man wise? No, he's not. So we take stock of what man does. Take, for instance, the misuse of Mother Earth. Our wasteful, careless, short-sighted methods create desolate deserts out of precious farmlands and valuable pastures which must supply future generations with food, etc. What do? We take out of the earth as much as possible in a short time, thus not allowing the earth to nourish itself through its own regenerating process. And the food we eat thereof is minus those valuable elements that the body requires to keep it healthy. Why is it today that the bodies of the people are deteriorating? Because the elements are not there. The material that you eat is very often minus those elements, because the land has been over-cultivated and has not regenerated its own elements again, but has been forced by artificial means to produce food without the elements. And consequently, the body suffers. What do we see? Lack of wisdom, which is gradually turning large expanses of land into barren wastes, where there is no undergrowth. Therefore, there is no binding to hold the topsoil, which the wind blows into dust. Then the rains come, and erosion sets in, and valuable soil is washed away. Arid lands and deserts in many parts of the world are the consequence of this ruthless exploitation of the land. And yet it all could be stopped by intelligence and wisdom. Take the unscrupulous practice of ridding the land of trees, those beautiful forests which are the priceless assets of nature, are turned into a tangled mass of debris. Where once these trees were a protection of the soil, which is now loosened, vast stretches of soil are now carried away by the rain, which should be soaking into the ground to give fresh life and fertility to this most valuable asset we have, the land. The massacre of these precious trees further reduce the rainfall, for forests attract rain and render the atmosphere wholesome and fresh. But what do we see? The cutting down of forests without any effort to replace them. The cutting down of trees all over the world is a catastrophe, without any effort of replacing those trees. And we see barren deserts now where trees and fertile land was surrounding it. Is nothing else but arid desert everywhere. So if this thing goes on, man's foolishness will destroy himself. Is it not so that God has given man wisdom? He has, but man has not used it. Why has he not used it? Because he wants to get as much out of the soil as he can at the moment. In industry, we see where waste, carelessness and inefficiency, bad habits and reckless disregard for human element are causing disintegration throughout the whole productive capacity of the nations. The stress and strain of the industrial life is causing a breakdown in the health of the operators, resulting in a waste of precious productive capacity through sickness, accidents, unemployment, dissatisfaction and strikes. The ceaseless, continual confusion and fluctuation of values are the cause of lack of economic security. So we see a tremendous amount of work needs to be done through wisdom, through understanding. In commerce, we see wasteful and unscrupulous methods which give rise to economic crisis. The vast profits and losses made out of the fluctuation of the markets is direct evidence of lack of economic stability caused by violation of sound common sense in the commercial and industrial world. A lack of wisdom by those who crave for things for themselves at the expense of others, and what they get out of it is just another headache. And what do we see in all these particular stock exchanges? One time the fluctuation goes high, and the other time there's a Black Friday. So the buy and the sell, parasites on the market. In our social life, the plight is even worse. The insincerity among individuals, based upon superficial courtesy and hollow pretension, is sapping the bloodlife of the nation. Go to any conference you like and you'll only find probably one or two men who are sincere. But that sincerity is worth a mint of gold. In high life and low life, we see the intrigue and falseness of the order of the day. No one seems to be honest with the other. How can we ever regenerate ourselves unless we begin to know ourselves, what we are and what we are doing? And if we knew what we are and what we are doing, then these things would fall away from us. They would dissolve away because we would realize what we are. Not until we see what we are and what we are doing will we realize that the earth is not for ruthless exploitation but to nourish the peoples of the world, that the forests are not there for unscrupulous butchery, but as a protection for the soil that produces food and nourishment. When trees are cut for necessities, there must be further planting in the place without delay, and this must be thoroughly planned beforehand. The factories are for the production of the necessities and comforts for the people and not for the exploitation of human beings for the benefit of the few. They are there for the comforts of the individual and not to become instruments to destroy the happiness and health of the operators. If we fail to see ourselves and what misery we create for ourselves and others, and the cause of the misery, we will never escape from the effects of our actions. And everyone is contributing to this thing, because you do not search within yourselves and find what you are doing. We will thus continue to suffer the devastating results of our folly, carelessness, and exploitation. If we fail to perceive that waste, carelessness, and selfishness will never pay, that the interests, welfare, and happiness of every individual is closely knit with all individuals who form the society of the peoples of the world, we will never escape from the conditions we create. We have to see there is one family, one society. Cut out all nations and groups and things that are the separation between man and man. And once we see this one great society of human beings, then the world will change overnight, because we will see that the happiness of the whole means the happiness of the individual. Because it's wholeness, completeness, that is essential. And it's the great vision, the large vision, the vision of wholeness that you must have. That's what we want. That's real statesmanship, not parasitical statesmanship as we see today, which means nothing else but separatism. We must see clearly that the welfare of the whole is essential, then the welfare of the individual will be secure. For this is accomplished only by the individual self, through understanding the self. So it is not the other person you've got to depend upon to create these conditions, but yourselves, the self. If you're waiting for the other person to do it, it shall never be done. But if you can see clearly, then the influence you have will be penetrating. It will be ever widening and penetrating through the minds of thousands of people, because there is no separation, there is no isolation. Isolation is an illusion. And those who isolate themselves destroy themselves. There is no such thing as isolation in reality. Therefore, there can be no isolation in humanity. With this isolation, destruction comes. Separation comes, then conflict, antagonisms, and destruction. Man, know thyself, the greatest of all things. Everyone is trying to know a God external to themselves, which they will never know and never find. If they'd only seek and understand themselves, then they would find that God beyond themselves. Same God exists in me and you and every human soul, no matter where or what he is. Immediately then man comes to this realization of the truth, all misery will pass away, and the Christ that lives in every soul will manifest. The lion will lie down with the lamb, and God will say, in your own heart, this is my people, and I shall be their God forevermore, and that God within you is love and wisdom. That is eternal and ever-present. It is the only reality that ever existed. It is never away from you. It is not made up in your mind. You cannot create it. It exists eternally, waiting to give expression to itself. Immediately make room for it. And the room you make is when you discern what you are yourself. The habits of the individual have been established as a mental habit which produces deterioration of values. How then can the mind of man estimate any value when it has no sense of higher value? A sense of higher value comes through the transformation of the self through self-knowledge. When the agents of deterioration eat into the structure of the national existence like silent termites, it is high time that the individual has a mental house clearing by discerning the path being taken. The law of deterioration is the yardstick we must apply to the history of nations and empires that have vanished. We can measure their decline and fall by the state of the mind of the individual. Therefore, it is not essential that we should also now discern the state of our own minds, mind of the individual. This cannot be ignored by any individual or government, for the price of such neglect is too exorbitant. We can see clearly that the history of the past empires and nations that have vanished, we can measure the decline and fall by the state of the mind of the individual. This should sound a note of grave warning to those who waste words and pervert truth in modern propaganda. leading the minds of millions and millions of human beings into the far-reaching, deteriorating, and demoralizing effect of unprecedented, colossal waste of life and human suffering. What do you hear over the radio, the wire, and the press? Propaganda that is influencing the minds of millions and millions of people who do not understand. If this goes on continuously, what will happen? One half the world is creating propaganda and antagonisms against the other half of the world. Well, the one half of the world is preparing and creating bombs, guns, rifles, and ammunition for the destruction of the other half of the world. And you say that you can escape from it? No, you can't, because you're part of it. So the result will be without precedent and beyond measure. Yet the individual has it in his or her hands to discern the way he or she is traveling. Therefore you think that you have love. You speak about brotherly love. Oh yes, you talk about it. And the next moment you condone mass murder. With one breath you say brotherly love in the world, and the next moment you're agreeing to this mass murder. Your brotherly love is nothing. You haven't yet discerned your mind first. If you can discern what the opposites are in your mind, hate and love together, you have no love at all. They do not exist side by side. You either have one or the other. And you're moving from one to the other continuously, living in opposites. But if you discern these things, you will understand yourself. And self-knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. Then what the result will be for the individual, so it will be for the world. Only the individual alone has the power to destroy the world and himself. He also has in his hands his own salvation by taking hold of the tree of life that is in everyone. This, the life of God. The tree of life in himself, which is the life of God. So the Father have life in himself, so he granted the Son to have the same life in himself. Are we not searching for good through organized beliefs, reciting prayers and worshipping in ignorance? What I decry is not religion, nor the search for reality and a way of life, but organized belief with their dogmas, their separate forces, their influences. We are caught up in the net of beliefs, ideas, ideals, repetitive rituals and the like, which is all nonsense. They are drugs that distract the mind from seeking. They are only escapes which make the mind dull and ineffective. What is prayer? You pray to a God outside yourselves. Jesus said in very good words, he said, you pray to something you do not know, but we pray to something we do know. And that was the difference. I and the Father are one, was his prayer. And his prayer was a realization of the truth, which is his own clearly himself. And he knew to be himself the truth. He didn't know what the truth was, but he knew it was he himself. I do not know what I am. The real am I do not know, but I know that I am. I know that I'm alive, but I do not know what life is. But I know that I am alive and living. I know I am life. And when I discern everything else external to myself and what I create in my mind about life is not life, but an image, an idea of it, So what I created in my mind, what I made up in my mind, my own formulations, I discern them for what they are because I see they are my own creations, I and they are one. Therefore I no longer caught up in my images and beliefs because a belief is not life, an idea is not life, but I am life. I am life. I am truth. Consciousness doesn't know what it is itself. It only knows. It only is aware. Your consciousness cannot create consciousness. It can only create something external to itself. Your consciousness cannot analyze itself. It can only analyze something external to itself. But I know what is external to my consciousness is not my consciousness. And I know what external to me is not life, and what's made in my mind is not life, but I know that I am life, and I know that God is life. Therefore I know that the same life in the Father must be in me, because I and the Father are one. There is no idea about it. An idea about it passes away to my mind, but I'm a living expression of life. I am. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to create an idea about it to make it a reality myself. I know I am myself. And that's what Jesus so clearly when he said, I myself am nothing, it's the Spirit of the Father within me. Father and I are one. We are one. We must not accept what anyone says. You must not accept what I say. We must inquire directly. We must look directly and experience directly and see what we are caught up in and why we are caught up. Because my grandfather did some ritual, or my mother will cry if I don't do it, therefore I must do it. Surely you can see if such a person is psychologically dependent on others, he or she is incapable of finding out what truth is. And if you, in fact, imitate another, just because your father or your mother did it, you imitate it too without thinking. Are you capable of finding out the truth unless you inquire deeply? You know, those people who do not know and profess to know, when you ask them a question, they said, now you must not inquire into that. It's not for you to know that. How stupid those people are, do you think? That I'd be such a dunce to accept that sort of rubbish? Are you fool enough to accept that sort of rubbish? Of course not. If you are, then you're not capable of finding out what is truth and what's not truth. We may repeat the name of God a million times, but it gets us nowhere. Reality will shun us because we are encased in our own prejudices and fears. And we are not alone responsible, for organized religion has already separated man from man. When I was in India, in the East, I saw some ghastly things done in the name of Allah, in the name of Buddha, in the name of Muhammad, in the name of Christ, in the name of God. I saw children slaughtered in the street. I saw men, people disemboweled with a knife. I saw their heads knocked off. I saw people, some of them, out into the sands with their hands and their feet laying out crossways, with the sun beating on them until they were burnt to death. In the name of Allah, in the name of religion. And can we say we are any better? It's not a few years ago before we were ourselves killing people and burning them at the stake. in the name of religion. Organized religion, that is. It's more subtle today, yet it's just the same. You examine it and you will see. Not until we discern what it is and see it for what it is can we get rid of it. So we create an authority, and having created the authority, we become its slaves, because you want to escape from the confusion you're caught up in your beliefs. You follow so that you may escape, but escape does not come. So whenever you have an authority, you doubt. You create your own authority, do you not? You crave for authority, and when that authority comes, you doubt that authority. You change and you go to another authority. And after you think that you've got that authority, you'll doubt that authority. And you condemn that authority and go to another. But you do not discern your own craving for authority, which is the cause of all your misery and your ignorance. The authority is the result of your confusion. Then how can you get rid of that confusion? If you're not confused, if your mind was clear of all confusion, you will not follow anyone. You will be directly experiencing. You may study the Bible, the Upanishads, the Gita, or any other book. Do you think you're capable of reading the truth of it when you yourself are confused? You will translate what you read according to your confusion, your likes and dislikes, your prejudices, your conditioning. So your approach is not to reality. Jesus said very plainly to them, you search the scriptures and you think you find the eternal life? You make a mistake. How true those words were, yet how few understood. And they were searching the scriptures to find eternal life. Oh, they had ideas created about eternal life. And everything they had created according to their own conditioning, their own images and their own beliefs. So if you are a Mohammedan, you search the scriptures according to your belief. If you're a Hindu, you do the same. If you're a Christian, you do the same. And if you're all the same religions, you do the same thing. And you think you find eternal life, you make a mistake. Not until you have found that all these things are made up in your mind and are illusions. And so you will find eternal life real. When all these things are seen and understood, dissolved away, that which is real itself remains. I am that. To find truth, you must understand yourselves. The truth comes to you. You do not have to go to truth. You do not have to create truth. That which you go after is not truth, but a projection of yourself, therefore not truth. So when you're searching in the scriptures, or in the Upanishad, or in the Gita, you're searching the projection of yourself. You're trying to interpret according to your own conditioning and your beliefs. Oh my goodness. If I could only make it plain to you that it's so horribly and completely simple. All that's made up in your mind is not truth. All that you formulate about truth in your mind is not truth. Therefore, whatever you read about truth is not truth. It's only a formation that you formulate in your own mind about it. No matter when you read the Bible, or you read the Gita, or when you read the Upanishads, or any of those books, it makes no difference. You immediately discern that which is not truth. The truth is, I am the truth. How wonderful, so simple, just I am. It is difficult to find in a mind that is confused, I know. But the first thing you've got to do is to get rid of your confusion. Find truth, you must first see very clearly your own prejudices, opinions, ideas, beliefs, conclusions, your greed, your envies, etc. This brings freedom, and through freedom comes truth. True virtue is seeing truth everywhere. Then you will not belong to any sectional group. No society or group or organization can hinder you. Thus truth comes only when the mind is capable of receiving it. And a mind that is capable of receiving it is a mind that is clear of confusion, antagonisms, greed, beliefs, images and ideas of truth. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. These words of Jesus you read in Luke 17:20-21. Benediction. Beloved Eternal One, thou hast created the world so that man would find himself through service. But the Satan of the South has led him into the desert of waste and destructive separation. Be it possible, O Mighty One, that thy presence within will cause man to look into his heart and repent, thereby free himself from the Satan of the South. Then the glory of thy presence will overwhelm him, thus freeing him from all his own conditioning. O Eternal One. Let us enter into the sanctuary of the silent heat. For the Word that was in the beginning is the birth of the Christ in every soul of man. Ever my peace remains with you. Remain as a blessing. Your own hearts and into the neighbor, he is yourself.